I really have a mind this morning to endeavor to preach some on the subject of prayer. I've been really burdened with this subject a good bit in the last 2 or 3 months. The thing that our nation needs more than anything else is prayer. God said to Israel of old, if my people, not alien sinners, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, you might as well forget about praying if you're not humble. If you're going to go into the presence of the Almighty God with pride, forget it. Because pride is at the top of his hate list. There's 7 things God hates, and the first one is a proud look. Anybody in the house today struggling with pride? It is a besetting sin, and it's hard to imagine that sinners like us would ever be proud, but Satan loves for us to be proud. So we need to humble ourselves and then pray and then seek his face and then turn from our wicked ways. And then God says, if you'll do those 4 things, I'll do 3 things. I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins. I will heal your land. How many of us want God to hear us and forgive us and heal our land? So the subject of prayer is on my mind this morning, and I want to begin in Matthew chapter 6 with a model prayer that Jesus gives us. It's not the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know it's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but it can't be his prayer, because in the prayer he teaches us to ask for forgiveness of our sins. Did Jesus have any sins to be forgiven? No. This is the sinner's prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. So here is a beautiful model for us to follow. And it wouldn't hurt to memorize this prayer and just repeat it daily. But that's not why he gave it to us. He gave it to us as an outline that we should follow in our prayer life. How many of you all pray? I see a lot of hands going up. I hope all of you pray. I hope you pray daily and constantly. But when we are praying, you know what we're doing? We are talking to our Heavenly Father. I've had people say to me, I just don't know how to pray. Well, did you know how to talk to your dad? If you did, you ought to be able to pray, because you're talking to your Heavenly Father. Our Father. That's how Jesus begins this. Did you know that that principle, that God is our Father, is taught in Scripture? It's referenced once or twice in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, that truth is really brought forcefully to us, that God is our Father. And of all the religions that I've ever heard about or studied, the only one that would teach us that deity is our Father is Christianity. Islam says that it's insulting to deity to refer to him as Father, to bring him down on a relationship with us like father-children. Hinduism doesn't understand that God is our Father. Buddhism doesn't. I don't think Judaism really got it. But in the Christian faith, we understand that God is our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we are thankful this morning that we are blessed to know that God is our Father. Now, I want to ask another question this morning, and it's not for information. You know, one of the most effective ways of teaching is to ask questions, not so much for information, but to stir up your minds. How many of you in this house today had anything to do with being the child of your earthly father? Did y'all walk through some place with a bunch of adults and say, I want him or her for my mom and dad? We didn't have anything to do with that. Now, Jesus did not teach us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, thank you that I did something to make me your child." If we are God's children today, we had no more to do with it than we had to do with being the sons and daughters of our earthly parents. Amen. Does that make any sense to anybody? I know a lot of people say you've got to choose him and you've got to believe in him and you've got to do this and that and the other in order to become his child. But no, if you're a child of God today, it's by his choice. And let me tell you, he's got a big family. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father." You're not an only child in God's family. He's got a great multitude which no man can number out of every nation, every language, every tribe, every family. God's family is made up of people from all races, all backgrounds throughout history. And God looked down and chose them in Christ before the foundation of this world. You're a child. You know, we sung that song. There's another song that we sung that really got my attention this morning. The Child of Grace. How happy is every child of works? No, how happy is every child of grace? I heard a man one time describing grace like this. He said, "We're in a boat, as human beings, we're in a boat, and the current is taking us down to hell. But God has given us oars of grace. And if we will row hard enough, it'll keep us out of hell into heaven." The oars are grace, and you've got to use them. Now, that wouldn't be amazing grace, would it? That'd be amazing me. I want to tell you, grace is amazing. How many of y'all love that song, "Amazing Grace"? What is amazing about grace? That it saved a good fellow like me? No, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I heard a woman one time singing on some religious program on TV, and she was singing "Amazing Grace." But she said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me." And that got my attention. And I thought, that's not the original version. Then the pastor came on and explained and said, "We don't use that word wretch in this church. It's too demeaning." Well, Paul said about himself, "Oh, wretched man that I am." How many of y'all recognize that by nature this morning, we're all wretched? I tell you another version of that song that some people sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you." You still don't see how amazing grace is until you recognize you're wretched by nature. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So we're children of grace. How happy is every child of grace that feels his sins forgiven. So we're children of God today by his amazing grace. Now, let's go on here and look for a moment. "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, I want us to think about that just a moment. We are God's children, and that fact should embolden us in our prayer life. If I had to go to some big, powerful king or statesman or president for help, I might be intimidated. I would be, knowing me. But if I go to my father, that's okay. I'll share with you all an illustration I heard years ago that really did help me to understand prayer. This man was the president of the bank, and he was in his beautiful office. He had a couple of secretaries out outside, and these business people were waiting to go in and speak to the president and try to get a loan for their business. And they were all dressed up, and they had their briefcases, and they had their secretaries with them, and they were worried, afraid, you know, how's it going to go with me today? And all of a sudden, this little boy walks in, and he's got a baseball cap turned sideways, got a hole in his blue jeans, face is a little dirty. He just walks in and pushes his bicycle up next to a mahogany desk, waves at the secretary, walks into the president's office without even knocking. And all these business people are thinking, who does that little boy think he is? And they asked the secretary, and she said, oh, that's the president's little boy. There's the difference. You're God's little boys and little girls. You're God's children. You haven't got to impress him. He loves you with a father's love, a perfect love. Now, I have talked to people who did not have good earthly fathers, maybe abandoned fathers, absentee fathers, brutal fathers, drunken fathers. There's a sister in our church that's in a 12-step program right now because her dad was a brutal, raging alcoholic. She's in her 70s and still struggles with some of those wounds from her childhood. So I've had people say to me, Brother Sam, the idea that God is our Father is not that comforting. And I could understand that. I was blessed to have a teddy bear for a daddy. He was about 6'2", probably weighed 220 pounds. I took after my mama. That's why I'm so short. But my daddy was such a loving, gentle soul to be around. So when I read that God is my Father, you know, from a natural standpoint, I get it. But if you're here today and you didn't have that kind of dad, I want you to understand that your heavenly Father is loving and glorious in all his ways. Our Father. And by the way, that term our does remind me that when I'm talking to him, I need to understand I'm just one of the children. And if I'm mad with his other kids and not treating them right, he's not going to like that. I had two daughters, and I love them dearly. They love me. But you know, all it takes for sibling rivalry is to have two kids. That's all it takes. Just have two, and you're going to see some sibling rivalry. Now, my daughters today are close as sisters can be. But when they were little, it wasn't always that way. But let me tell you, if one of my girls was mistreating her sister, I didn't like it as their father. And if you and I are mistreating any of his children today, he doesn't like that. We're to be forgiving, aren't we, and loving, and turning the other cheek. Our Father, you don't have a corner on God. He's got children in Africa, China, South America, all over the world, and he loves them all the same. Our Father. The fact that he's our Father ought to embolden us in our prayer life. You ought to feel free to just come to him. And if you've done wrong, if you've messed up, just say, Dad, I have messed up. And what do dads do? They just forgive you and love you and help you to get over it. So, beloved, our Father, which art in heaven, this ought to embolden us. See, a lot of God's children want to think of themselves as earning what they get from God. You know, when the prodigal son, this Jesus tells us in Luke 15 about a father who had two sons, and he must have been a well-off father. And one day his younger son decided to leave home. And so he goes to his dad and he says, what? I'm so honored to be your son. I want to please you always. No, he said, give me. We come into this world saying, give me. And fathers and mothers don't mind giving to their children. How many of us mind giving a baby a bottle? When they're crying, they're asking, give me. And we're glad to give them what they need. But we need to grow past that. Now this boy leaves home saying, just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And his dad gave him his portion. And he went away and wasted it in riotous living. What his daddy had worked hard to earn, the boy just wasted it. Let me tell you, a fool and his money is soon parted. Now, the dad gives him what the dad had worked for, and the boy just wasted it in riotous living. Forgot about his dad, forgot about home. He was spending his money with harlots and the world until his money was gone. Now, let me tell you, if you got a lot of money, you can have friends. People will be attracted to you. But let me tell you, they're money-bought friends, and when the money's gone, the friends are gone. Well, when the boy's money was gone, his friends were gone, and he ends up hungry, and he doesn't have anything to eat. And he hires himself out to a man to feed hogs, which was the most shameful thing a Jewish boy could do, feeding hogs. And he ends up in a hog pen, and he would have eaten what the hogs didn't eat, and his master wouldn't let him. Let me tell you, that was a cruel master, wasn't it? Finally, with all these trials and suffering, the boy comes to himself. He gets his right mind back. I tell you, I wish America could get its right mind back, don't y'all? There's so much crazy thinking going on in this country today, and people just saying, give me, give me, give me, the government owes me. I want to tell you, the government doesn't have anything to give you that it didn't take from somebody else. And if I walk up to Brother Mike, let's say Brother Dwayne needs some money, and I'm not going to give him mine. I just walk up to Brother Mike, get in his pocket and take his money and give it to Brother Wayne. Is that fair? That's what the government's doing. I wish our country could come to its right mind. I wish a lot of God's children could get their right minds back. And you know what brought this young boy to his right mind? Suffering and hunger. And that may take that for America to get our right mind back. Now, I didn't mean to get into that, but now the boy comes to himself. And now he says, hired servants in my daddy's house have plenty to eat and left over, and I'm starving. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say to my dad, just make me a hired servant. Now, this occurred to me a while back, Brother Michael. Very interesting. I've always admired his attitude there. But listen, he thinks, I'm going to go back, and my daddy's going to hire me, and I'm going to draw wages, and I'm going to earn what I get. How many of y'all today think you're hired servants to God and you're earning what you get? That's the thinking in the minds of the world. If I live right and do right, I'll earn me a home in heaven. If I live right and do right, I'll get all of his blessings on me down here. You know, that's what Job's friends thought. When Job lost his children, his houses, his land, and his health, his friends came and said, if you were just living like us, you'd be blessed. Let me tell you, don't look down on people that are suffering. You may not know what's going on. It's not good for you and me to be judges. It's easy to be a judge, but it's not good for us. You know, your judgment's no better than your information. So the boy says, just make me a hired servant. You know, there's two ways you can live in somebody's house. You can either be a boarder paying rent, or you can be a child. Now, the renter, the boarder, he's got to pay his rent. He's got to follow the rules. But the child, he gets to live there free. Now, I want to ask you all this morning, do you look on yourself as just paying God rent and you're earning what you get, or do you recognize that you're a child of God, and it's by his grace and favor that you're blessed? How many of y'all understand that? The boy says, make me a hired servant. Now, he goes back and finds out something that he really didn't understand. The love his father had for him. The Bible says that father saw him afar way off. You know why? Because he was out there looking for him. What love, what wondrous love is this, O my soul? John said, behold, that word means to stop, look, and listen. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a love we will be exploring in all eternity. Listen, the love you and I have for one another and for our children is wonderful, but compared to God's love, it would be like comparing the light of a candle to the noonday sun. God's love. And when that boy comes back and the daddy sees him coming, what does that Jewish father do? And I understand it was not in Jewish culture for a grown man to run, but this daddy ran. He ran to this wayward son. And he embraced him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, robe on his back, and rejoiced and threw a big party. Killed the fatted calf. Brother told me one time, he said, you know who lost the most in that parable? I said, no, the fatted calf. He lost his life. But you know, that fatted calf was being fattened for a special occasion, and there was nothing more special than this boy coming home. Now, what happened to the older brother? I'm not really getting into prayer this morning, am I? But what did the older brother say? When he saw it, you know his attitude? You talk about stinking thinking. Y'all ever have any stinking thinking? This elder brother wouldn't even come in the house. He was angry. He was jealous. He was hurt. He was offended with his daddy. And he said, Daddy, I have served you. Now listen to this. He said, I have served you all these years. In other words, I'm earning what I get. I've been a good boy. No, he's just as prodigal as the other. Though he didn't leave home, his heart wasn't right. And you know that daddy loved him too? He did. He said, everything that's mine is yours. Now that parable is given to teach you and me about our heavenly Father. And if you've been a prodigal in your life, and we all have, I just want to encourage you to know that your Father loves you with a perfect love, and you can't earn His love. You can't. He loves you, and you need to know how much He loves you. And that's what preaching is really designed for, to tell you all how much your Heavenly Father, you know how much your Father loves you? I'm going to tell you right now. For God so loved the world that He gave the angels? That He gave gold and silver? No, God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. You want to see God's love? Go to Calvary and see His Son hanging there in naked shame for you and me. Bearing our sins in His own body and paying for them with His precious blood. And the Father, you know, we focus on the suffering of the Son, Jesus, on the cross, and we need to. But I want to tell you, there was a Father in heaven that was suffering. Oh, my soul. Can you imagine how the Father felt? When Jesus on the cross, you know, he called Him Father for a while, but on the cross, as the judgment of God would begin to fall on Him for the sins of all of God's children, Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? How do you reckon the Father felt? He's our Father, and I want you to know how much He loves you. He's not an absentee Father. He's not a mean, brutal Father. He's not a judgmental Father. He's a loving Father. Now, if you misbehave, He loves you enough to chasten you. I don't want to imply He's going to spoil you. You know what I think one of the most horrible forms of child abuse is spoiling a child? Because I can tell you, if you spoil them, and grandparents need to hear this, I want to tell you, if you spoil them and they grow up, they're not going to find anybody that wants to spoil them. They get married and want their spouse to spoil them. Good luck. Our Heavenly Father is not spoiling His children. He chastens us. Whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chastens us. And I have felt His chastening. My dad whipped me twice in my life. But when dad whipped, it lasted. I told you, my dad was a big man. And you ever got him upset enough, he spanked you. Let me tell you, he didn't use a little switch from the backyard. He used a belt. I remember the spankings till this day. They lasted. Mama, bless her memory, spanked me about every week. You know, there were 15 of us, and my mama was good at disciplining. And she'd send you to get your own switch. Any of y'all ever had that experience? I'd pick a little switch. Mama's spanking, they'd sting a little, but it wasn't no big deal. But she did it because she loved me. She's trying to train me. My daddy was trying to train me because they knew that when I get older, I need to behave myself. I need to know how to behave myself. Well, I want to tell you, your Heavenly Father knows how to discipline us. He does. He doesn't do it because He doesn't love you. He does it because He does love you. You know, the little boy one time was getting a whipping, and his daddy said, "Son, I'm doing this because I love you." And he said, "Dad, I wish you didn't love me so much." Our Father, I want to get back to the prayer before we close. Our Father, which art in heaven. This occurred to me recently. You know, this pandemic has been bad, and we've had people in our church that have been very sick with it. I've had friends I've lost. Elder Larry Barker, one of our ministers from Pigeon Forge. You know, a lot of people out of work, people losing their businesses. It's not a good time. It's a difficult time, and I got depressed. I'll just be honest with you. During that quarantine, the first 3 or 4 weeks, I finally told my wife, Nelda, I said, "I'm just blue. You know, I love people. I enjoy being around people." She says I'm a people person. So is she. We were missing that. I got blue. But it caused me to draw closer and closer to my Heavenly Father. And one day it occurred to me, while human beings are down here in this broken, messed up, dying world, where storm after storm rises dark on the way, my Heavenly Father is in where? Heaven. He's not down here. He's in His glory. He cannot be corrupted by sin. Satan can't tempt Him. Do y'all know how wonderful it is that our God cannot be tempted with sin? Satan can't get to Him. He bothers me all the time. How many of y'all ever have trouble with the devil? Now that's an unnecessary question. If you're a human being, Satan's after you. He's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But my Father in glory cannot be tempted. He is perfect and holy and righteous. My Savior was down here in a body for 33 years and did suffer, but I'm glad all of that is over now, and He's back in glory. And you know where our Savior is right now? At the Father's right hand. I'm glad of that. Our Father, which art in heaven. It just blessed me that day. It was sort of an epiphany, an awakening, a light bulb went off. I'm just glad you're up there. You're not down here in this mess. Now, He is with us through the Holy Spirit. I get that. But our God is untouchable. Not in the sense that He can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He's, you know, there used to be a show on TV called The Untouchables. Any of y'all remember that? I believe it was the FBI. They couldn't be corrupted by the mafia. Well, our God cannot be corrupted. He is untouchable. And He's in His glory. Our Father, which art in heaven. I had a good earthly father. He's in the grave. His spirit is in glory, but His body's in the grave. My Heavenly Father is eternal. He's perfect. He's glorious. He's loving. I just wish today, in some way, as a preacher, I could preach this message so that everybody here today could just leave here feeling close to your Heavenly Father, feeling free to talk to Him. Now, what is the first thing Jesus teaches us to ask for? Hallowed be thy name. How many of y'all love to be around people who curse God and use His name in vain? I'm not going to stay around that. I wouldn't stay around anybody that cursed my earthly father. As little as I am, I'd be ready to take them on. I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to watch any movie that's cursing my Father in heaven. That's against our culture. I understand that. But let me tell you, His name is above every name. I love that psalm that opens with this text. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And you and I ought to hallow His name. That's a word we don't use much anymore, hallow, but it means to honor. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. If it's a kingdom, He's a king. Thy kingdom flourish in the earth. Thy will be done. Now you better think about it before you ask for God's will to be done in your life, because you may not want it. It may not be what you want. But if you got enough sense to get up in the morning and put on your clothes, you ought to have enough sense to know God's will is the best, whatever it may be. He may call on you to do things you don't want to do, but you ought to be praying, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, it's all about God in the opening. You say, well, Brother Sam, when are you going to get down to where I can ask for something? I thought that's what prayer was, just going to God with my wish list and say, God, give me this and God, give me that. Listen, God loves to give His children, just as you and I, as earthly parents, love to give to our children. But you know, first of all, we ought to worship Him, honor Him, praise Him. And then Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, not our cake and pie. How many of y'all love sweets? I tell you, when I was suffering from that autoimmune disease about 4 years ago, I found out I had a lot of inflammation in my body, and I was a sugarholic. And I had been since I was a young teenager, because I started pastoring churches when I was 16, and they found out I loved pies and cakes, and the good sisters were killing me. They were loving me to death. And I wanted them to know how much I appreciated them. And I gained weight, messed up my blood sugar. I'm not 100% off of sugar right now.
That's fine.
Thank you, Brother Mike. As an elder, I appreciate that. But I probably don't eat 10% of the sugar I used to. So Jesus didn't say, give us this day our candy, our cake.
No.
Give us this day our daily bread. Bread in Bible times was very nutritious. It was the staff of life. And you're given the permission to ask your Heavenly Father for things you need. Don't just go to Him with a bunch of wants. Just go to Him. And notice, give us when? This year's supply? No, this day. Why just this day? Because if I get a year's supply, I may forget Him for a year. I need to keep going back. And let me tell you, God is good, and He has blessed America like no nation on the face of this earth. I've been privileged to travel to, I think, about 30 countries in Europe and Africa and Mexico. Let me tell you, people all over the world wanting to come here, and I don't blame them. I really don't. God has blessed us above and beyond what we could have ever thought about or ask for. But He didn't owe it to us, and He can take it away. And what we really need to do is just have a grateful attitude and say, Father, give me what I need. I've shared this before with a lot of people. There was a brother in our church in Birmingham from Tanzania in East Africa. His name was Obey Dalima Mokolongi. He started coming to our church. He was over there in a Bible school studying the scriptures. And he started coming to our church one day, and he would not even be acknowledged in other churches. But our folks ran up to him, greeted him, invited him to stay for dinner. He said, "You know, you feed a hungry man, you get his attention." Obey didn't even have enough money in his pocket for dinner that day. But he started coming and soon joined and started preaching for us. He loved salvation by grace. But he had a car. It took him three times to take the driver's license test to pass. He was not the best driver. I rode with him one time. That was enough. But he had a car. It was an old Ford. Didn't have air conditioning. I said, "Brother Obey, you don't have air conditioning." He said, Pastor, it gets me from point A to point B. Africa is known as the walking continent. Brother Michael went with me. You see people walking all over the continent. How many of y'all get in your cars today and just say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm not having to walk home"? That's okay to have a fine new automobile if you can afford it. But if you can't and all you can get is something to get you from point A to point B, just thank God for it. You say, "I deserve more." Wait a minute now. Anything above hell is probably more than we deserve. Our Father. You know, my time is gone. I've enjoyed trying to preach on this subject to you all this morning. There's a lot more in this prayer, but hopefully I've been able to stir up your pure minds. And the main thing I hope is it'll encourage all of us to pray more. My oldest granddaughter has a sign over her bed that touches me every time I see it. It says, "When I wake up in the morning, give me Jesus." Amen. What a way to wake up in the morning with your minds on Jesus. You say, "I can't do that, Brother Sam." How do I do it? Go to bed with him on your mind. And you'll be amazed how he'll greet you in the morning. And you can have some of your sweetest moments right there in the bed, communing with him before you ever get up. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for our family. Pray for our country. Pray for the old Baptist. Pray for the sick. And in your prayers, give thanks to God. Thank you all for your wonderful attention today.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. A child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered o'er earth as the poorest of them. But now he is reigning in glory on high, preparing a place for the sweet by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. Over there.